Thank you for downloading this episode of Backstage with the Civil Church Podcast. We're off to a great start. Brian Reed over there trying not to breathe on the microphone. Thank you, Brian, for being here. Mm.
Dang, he said,
welcome.
Threw you out.
Thank you.
That's right.
No, you said welcome, so I should say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We're glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
It's going
to
be a good show because
it is.
It's not just you, Brian.
Because of this guy right here.
Well, when you point on a podcast, nobody can see it.
the young man to my right.
Mr. Steve Watkins. What is your title exactly? What should we call you, Steve? Your mogul? Entrepreneurial? Businessman?
Do whatever nobody else wants to do, man.
That's a good title. And you do a lot. And we are glad you're here to join us today. We talked last week with Angela Fanner about the Katie Bell tournament. It has happened. It was a great event. We would love for you to go check out what they're doing, the good work that happens there. And it's leading up to Angel Build that is continuing to progress to get closer. We're talking more about it as the weeks come up and how you can volunteer. But we get to talk with one of the origins of that and the getting all together here. So, Steve, introduce yourself. Tell us about you. Tell us about your family and give us your bio here about Steve Watkins.
All right. Steve Watkins, married to Robin. Three kids, Katie, Emily, Andy, all grew up here in Bossier, all went to Airline High School.
Go Vikes.
Go Vikes.
You got
go Vikes.
Two other alumnus here. Jordan played baseball with Andy, or you just knew Andy?
Yep.
There you go.
And they went off to LSU and met their spouses, moved to Kansas City. And so they're up there with all the grandkids. We're here in Bossier. We own the four Zaxby's and the Jersey Mike's.
New Jersey Mike's. Brand new. If you haven't been, go check it out.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. It's a good sandwich.
It is.
Absolutely. So, Steve, you helped us with chicken balls before. If anybody's been listening to the podcast, you heard that episode. We apologize. We're glad we just helped support our friends at Zaxby's.
Do we really apologize?
Well, no, but I'm going to apologize for them. They're not here. But we are here to talk doing good. We're here to talk about building houses, and we're here to talk about you guys. Because, Brian, you have said this before. I think you've termed this is you're in a club that nobody ever wants to be a part of.
That's correct.
And so when we talk about the Angel Build and what that is, talk some a little bit about you guys, your history, and how you got to know Steve.
Oh, wow. Well, the way I got to know Steve was through the car accident. October 20th, 2006 is, you know, there's certain days you never forget. And that's obviously one of them. Our two daughters, as well as Emily Perdue, who are Danny and Terry's daughter, were in a vehicle with two other girls headed down to the Airline Natchitoches Central football game, I believe it was, and involved in a rollover on I-49 headed towards Natchitoches, which, man, literally changed the course of our lives in a real way. I knew who Steve was.
Good Eats,
up until that time. Yeah. Yeah, because prior to that, it was Good Eats and
R.I.P. Good Eats. Yeah. We love some Good Eats.
I'm telling you. Tomato basil soup and chicken salad sandwich.
Mm.
That's the only place as a man I would say I ate a chicken salad sandwich.
It was dang good too. Eats.
When we closed it, my son said I was the most hated man in Bossier Parish.
I wouldn't say hated, but we were disappointed. It was for sure.
Strong feelings. How about
yes,
that?
Yes, absolutely. We were regulars.
Yeah, so honestly, that was the first time, and I don't know, Steve, if you remember how many of those details that unfolded that night, but I remember walking in, and it was before they had remodeled the ER area at LSU, which is now Ochsner's Hospital, and they put us in a family room, I mean, literally probably half the size of this area just right here, and I remember walking in there. You were the only person in that room, and I walked in, and still, we had no information really at the time, you know, sketchy information about what had actually gone on. I knew there was an accident because Justin had called me. And I did know, honestly, at that time, I knew that Emily had actually died on the scene of the accident. So Justin's telling me, don't say anything to Danny and Terry until everybody gets there. And I walk in and Steve's in that room. I'm like, dude, what's going on? And you know, then the rest of it just, I guess, as they say, unfolded for that night. And, I mean, literally, obviously, until now, the rest of our lives were obviously changed by that event.
Absolutely. And I shared this last week, but my sister was one of those two girls that were in the car that climbed out. And it's one of the worst days of our lives. I know being there and walking through that with y'all and being in a family, not knowing Steve, you as well as Brian and Danny and Terry, but getting to see through the years, celebrating the good of what's come from that is really what we want to talk about. So You guys went through this awful situation no one would ever imagine wanting to go through. But then we talked a little bit with Angel last week. How did it start to come in the idea of building a house in Katie's honor? Because that was the first one, right? It was the Katie build.
Right. Now, I think Angela actually reached out to Lee Jeter with Fuller Center for Housing and said, this was about 5 years after the accident, and said, you know, this may be a crazy idea, but what would it take to build a house? And from that phone call is kind of where it started unfolding. And, you know, nobody knew if we'd be able to do it or not do it. Had a meeting at the church with just some people that are pretty connected and laid it out, talked about the budget, how much it would cost. And after the meeting, one family wrote the check for about half of it.
Yeah.
And said that if you can't raise the other half, come see us. So
pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That was that put that first one on easy street as far as fundraising.
Yeah, but, and then where was the scholarships in that with the timeline? Because I know they did scholarships, Garden of Angels.
Right.
And the airline built the monuments there. Yeah. They're all airline students.
Right. That really came about almost through a separate thread, road, whatever way you word you want to use. And Bobby Brandon honestly was the horsepower behind that in a big way, where Angela has been and continues to be with Katie Build and then coming up with the Angel Build and all that's that. But yeah, Bobby had created, and I mean, he came to, I guess, really us as parents, was like, hey, this is what I want to do. And he was even behind the fundraising for the, if any of you are listening have ever been to Airline High School and seen there is actually a Garden of Angels and a beautiful sculpture that was it went to Italy, I think.
Yeah, came from Italy.
Came in from Italy, and it's there in honor of the three girls, but then with the option of, I guess, adding others. I don't know who makes that decision or who makes that call, but yeah, that was a kind of a separate thing. Bobby did that. There's golf tournaments that.
So is that before or after the tournament? Around
before.
The okay.
Before, yeah.
Yeah, that's
what I thought. He started that almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And what was Bobby's connect? He was just moved to do that? I've never heard why he got involved with that.
We were friends.
Yeah.
Went to Asbury at the time. Okay. I think
Bobby
now he goes
was
to
at Asbury.
And I think moved to Simple Church. But he just thought it'd be something that, you know, and it just kind of grew. When he first started it, I don't think he had a vision of how big it was going to be. I think he took us all to dinner one night, if you remember, at Two Johns or Silver Star or somewhere.
Yeah.
And just laid it out for the families. And of course, we were all still pretty much in a state of shock because it was not long after the accident that Bobby actually started this.
Right.
And so we kind of blessed it, and he just took off with it and had a golf tournament for 5 years that raised enough money to do everything.
Yeah.
And now he's got the money to invest it, and it's just continual. Every year, $2,500 scholarship every year. Sometimes he gives two, just depending on the situation. But he kind of runs that show.
It's awesome. And I'm talking to Angela last week, and what we love as Simple Church, we don't celebrate. What I think is so cool is in these awful situations, people that are able to find ways to do good. It comes out of something that was meant for harm, that was meant for evil. And now we can celebrate these students that didn't know these girls, didn't know anything about them. Now it's been, gosh, what is this, 18 years?
Yeah.
That are still benefiting and getting scholarships, getting houses. Their lives are changed because the honor and the memory of these girls is just really, really a cool thing. This is something I actually don't know, and I've never asked you. Did you guys get a dog? Did you get a little Yorkie too?
No.
No, you're not on that. Brian did.
We did.
And we did too.
I'm trying to remember what. I think you already had a dog.
We had a
okay.
dog. So I don't even know this story.
Okay. Talk about it, Brian. You can go.
So there was a lady who was a breeder of these. I guess, I don't know if they were.
I think they
were. I don't know the classifications. It was a Yorkie, but it wasn't teacup. I guess it was miniature. Maybe there goes teacup, miniature, whatever. But she had three, and I think she had maybe reached out to Robin. At the time, this was again
quick. It was pretty soon after, right?
Within the first, I would say, easily the first 6 months.
Yeah,
since the wreck, and it may be, I think it may have been after Christmas though, and wanted to give the animals to each of the families, and I'd mentioned something about. I do remember her saying that she had talked, and it may have been Robin at the time, And I know, and we've talked about it even since then, that first year, I mean, everybody processes grief differently.
Right.
And so you can't say you're wrong in the way you do that. It's really more different. And I know it rocked your world in a big time way.
Yeah.
And which has been cool, really, is I've gotten to know Steve even better since then and watched how he's grown through that. And it really is a God thing. And I don't want to steal your thunder any at all on that. But she had these three miniature Yorkies. And I think when y'all opted out, they went to Simancoe's after that. And
we got Sophie.
We got Chewy, which were brothers and sisters. R.I.P. Chewy.
And which Sophie.
And Sophie. Yeah, shelf life of a... That's probably not the right way to say that.
Shelf life's a little insensitive.
The lifespan of a small Yorkie. The smaller the dog, the shorter the lifespan, really. I think
that's right.
Because poor old Chewy,
Chewy outlived Sophie.
Yeah, but by the
end of his quality of life was...
Quality of life was really not good. Not good. He was had pretty much become a hairless Yorkie by the time it was over with.
Was not supposed to be.
No, he wasn't supposed to be.
Had hair at one point.
He did.
But I love that too, because I just think whenever these things happen, and especially this was a big event in the community, a lot of people reach out and do something. Whatever you have, whatever your gifts, whatever your talents, whatever your abilities, this was a dog breeder who affected, and really it helped my sister a ton.
Oh, yeah.
Of being able to have something to celebrate, something positive of doing it. And she loved that dog and was close to it. And whatever you have or a way that you can do, Bobby starting a scholarship and doing it. It wasn't direct connection with the family, but he found a way to try to help serve and do good for somebody else. If you have dogs, you give a dog away. If you have a business and you can get people to play a golf tournament, you start a golf tournament. And then the housing, and that's where now, again, continuing to build houses, we're about to ramp up and do it again. The most has ever been done at one time. It's finding these ways to do good for somebody else that we want to share these stories. And I think it's just so cool that something to celebrate for sure.
Right.
So you guys start, you get this idea 5 years after to do the house. You're going to have the money immediately. What is your direct involvement then? Do you guys go, are you helping plan, get the first Katie built house? Are you guys there? Tell me about walking through that, what that was like for y'all.
Right. Well, I was more of just a sounding board for Asbury and Angela, because obviously there was no blueprint for this. I had a history with Fuller, though, when they first did their very first build blitz in Shreveport.
When was that, roughly?
04, 05. Okay. They built 10 at one time.
Wow. Right.
And they hired my company to feed the volunteers. They had brought volunteers from all over the country, and we fed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner every night for a week. So we got to know the Fuller people really, really well. And so that was my first connection into that. A side note to that was it wasn't long after the blitz for the wreck, and we started getting flowers and messages and cards from Idaho, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and people we didn't know. And finally, after the dust settled a little bit, or the cloud dissipated a little bit, we checked into that a little bit closer, and it was all these people that come in for the build in Shreveport.
Wow.
And they had heard about it and sent and donated money to different charities and things like that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of working knowledge of how that worked. And so it just started from there, and we flew by the, seat of our pants that first time. We're real fortunate that a church member was a house builder, and he was semi-retired and ready to completely retire. And he said, I'll be the house captain for the first one. And that'll be the only one, but I'll do the first one. And so he brought a lot of expertise into it. So it was really pretty, believe it or not, pretty simple. We built it in 46 days.
Wow. I didn't know it was that fast.
Yeah, it went fast. And but everything just fell into place, and we had a lot of people help. And I think there's a organization called Carpenters for Christ. And they reached out through the Fuller Center, and they brought them aboard, and they came in for a couple of weekends. And these are like four or five real deal carpenters.
I'd say not like us yahoos that went in there and trying to help volunteer.
Yeah, so that helped a whole lot. But So the first one, and you know, that was the only one planned. We weren't going to do any more. There was no plans to do a second one. And as this thing evolved, and some people at the church kind of said, hey, we wouldn't mind helping with the second one. Hmm. We weren't able to help with the first one. And I, at that point, I believe that's about when the tennis tournament started. And Angela said, I've got this crazy idea. Why don't we have a tennis tournament?
Are you a tennis player?
No.
Not your thing.
No. And she said, you know, we'll get 100 players, but we'll raise a little money, and at least it'll start the second build if we have one. So that's kind of how that moved in. And so we had the second one, and once again, that was going to be the last one and kind of be done with it. And the strangest deal, I got a phone call one day from the student council sponsor at Airline and said, we need y'all to come to the pep rally today. We're going to give y'all some money for Katie Build. And I said, well, that's great, but Katie Build's over with. We built two. They said, well, this is for your next one. We said, well, we weren't sure we were having a next one. So we went to the pep rally, and they had jean day at Airline the Friday before. And to be able to wear jeans, you had to, I think, give $10 or $5 or something. And they wrote us a check for $4,500. Wow. And said, this is for the next one. Well, at that point, I think we had tapped out at Asbury maybe of doing one pretty quick. So, you know, I said, and it'd been something we had talked a lot about, and said, why don't we try to connect the other two families and their churches, see if they might be interested. And we can kind of give them the blueprint of what we've done and help them a little bit financially. And so we called Brian, called Danny and Terry, and called the pastors and ate at Good Eats.
We did.
And kind of threw it out there, and they said, interesting, let us go back to our churches and talk about it, and we'll let you know. And had another lunch at Good Eats about a month later, and they said, we're in. Both churches said, we're all in to do it.
That's awesome. Had you done anything with Katie Build, Brian?
No, we actually had not, just because I knew that it was in existence just from hearing it from them, but that's why we were so excited about having the opportunity to partner with these guys and learn and do it. It was a good thing.
Yeah.
Real good thing. And Fuller Institute, a little bit, I don't know how deep y'all went even with Angela. Fuller Institute began under Habitat of Humanity.
Okay. We didn't get into that. Yeah.
And basically, and I don't know how far back it went, but there was a meeting of the minds within the board of Habitat, where they were trying to, and it wasn't a big nationwide news break thing, but basically there was a group of people that wanted to remove the faith, kind of the what they call the faith element, out of the build portion of it. And Millard Fuller, who was on that board, said, I can't do that. I want to keep it in. And so he created the Fuller Institute. And one of the ways that he also was able to finance a lot of this was after Katrina. And Steve, I don't know if you remember this or remember hearing about it, but after Katrina, I remember if you built one home, the U.S. government would pay you for two. So he had a certain number of homes that they had to be built within the state of Louisiana. And that's how they ended up, I guess, like we're saying it, migrating up to Shreveport.
Yeah.
And then they would create that. You know, since that time, of course, locally, they've got a pretty strong running organization.
That's really cool. I never heard of
that. Yep, that's kind of the way it all that started.
That time.
And then we got involved with it, obviously, when they came and said, hey, let's do that.
Yeah.
I think Good Eats probably closed after that.
All right. It's a shame. That's right. So you got the idea. They're going to call it Molly Build.
Yes.
And that was 2016 starts.
Yeah, we finished October of 2017.
Okay.
I do remember we did the dedication then. The family that moved in were Sterling and Rhonda Combs, or their name. They were veterans. Both of them actually were, and I think Sterling, maybe both of them worked at, and I think he, as far as I've known, I've not seen him in the last year or so, but every once in a while, you know how things are in Bossier, you run around, you see folks. But he works at the VA
cool.
as well. And so it's just neat. And there's so many stories, and Steve could tell them as well, of just the interaction with that family, as we're, because they part of their deal is they do what's called sweat equity. So they're there with us. You know, they normally, because they worked, they would come at the end of the day from their, they lived in an apartment in Shreveport. They would come to Bossier. Usually it was kind of some cleanup, whatever was, there was a list, kind of a to-do list. But they had to put in those hours in order to be able to become the homeowners of that particular home. And so the Combs, you kind of got to see them, and over time you say, hey, what's going on, man? You know, cutting up with them.
Because it was months of being there and working.
Yes. Yeah, our project was not, we wanted it to go, we wanted it to go faster for whatever reasons. I don't know.
Stuff happens,
yeah. But right. it ended up going, taking a little bit longer, but it was dedicated October. I don't remember the exact date,
yeah.
But it was in that, you know, which would have been then 11 years after the accident, where it still continues to.
Yeah, and Steve will back it a little bit. You talk about the families of the ones that the first two Katy build homes that you got to know.
Yeah. Charles Brown was the very first owner. Mm-hmm. And
in Bossier.
In Bossier. And he kind of became our ambassador. Mm-hmm. He brought the second owner, the owner of the second Katy build, through the VA. And so he had a lot of connections there. And I believe he had a little bit, he knew the Combs through the VA, because Charles actually worked at the VA in veteran outreach. So he was a big part of that. Unfortunately, he has passed away. Mm-hmm. But they were the very first ones that paid off a Fuller home in Shreveport, Bossier.
Wow.
He, you know, because it's not a free house.
Right.
Whatever it costs to build, they pay back over a 20-year period of time, no interest. Right. You know, they just pay what it costs. If it cost $80,000, that's what they pay.
Yeah.
And he was able to pay his completely off way early, and he just felt like he wanted to do that. And mm-hmm. so that was kind of a cool deal. I mean, it's still in the system.
Yeah.
But he passed away, but he did own it. His widow sold the house back to Fuller Center, who then rehomed it to another veteran. So it's been a great little journey, and you know, it meant a lot to us for the to have a Molly and an Emily build. And because I will tell you, it seemed to us, me and Robin, to almost be a little selfish just to have a Katy build. We just didn't ever feel really, I mean, we felt great about Katy build,
right?
But then on the other side, you didn't have an Emily and you didn't have a Molly build. So, you know, that kind of completed that for us. I mean, I quietly took as much pride and joy as those two as we did the Katy build, because we just felt like it closed the circle.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know.
It's awesome. And then gearing up to do three more at one time. That's the first time
we are
doing that, and calling it Angel Build, a little rebrand this year.
Yeah.
And being able to do it. We hadn't done it since COVID, right? It's been slowed down. So now catching up. We're going to do three houses this summer is hopefully the plan. The details are still getting worked out. And Robin Horton.
That's right. Stay tuned.
Queen of do-goodery. It's all up in that. And we talked to her about it last week's episode. And when it starts signing up, we'll need people. And Brian, just talk a little bit for the process of what that means, volunteering. You don't have to be a skilled carpenter. If you are one, that's great. And we'll talk about, you can donate and do gifts in kind.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Just give a little bit of how people will get involved when we start signing up.
It really, at any skill level, there's multiple ways to be inserted. Obviously, there's certain things when you're building a house that does have a mortgage on it. It's required to have, obviously, licensed electricians and
you HVAC, and me have gone on mission trips to Mexico. We're not doing that. It's an actual house that is.
It is an actual house. It's not
safety inspected.
It's
and
not
real
standing
legit,
on the roof with a mop of hot, of hot black tar. Maybe you fix that hole in the roof. But So at any level. So even from your involvement can be involved, as Steve even said, with food, helping with food, cleanup, painting, any type of things that are there. And as the build goes on in specific phases between, because I remember the first, the not the dedication day, what was the groundbreaking day, I guess is what it was called. I mean, the goal, the slab is usually poured by then, and the goal is to get at least the outside walls up in that day. And so we, you know, did the prayers and got started, and we built out the walls. And as Steve said, it's a pretty simple construction. They have the option of picking their floor plan, but it's basically within a rectangle model. And so you just start and on the, if you're into learning jobs on the go. I was the header man for a while, cutting the.
You're good at it.
Yeah.
I was not that skilled.
Well, yeah, it's just a matter of measuring. And I know not all people can measure.
That's true.
We've learned that. And very some true. Even that have been a part of podcast past have struggles with that. But so you can do that. And then also, I'll go jump over into it. If you have a trade that you're licensed with, you can sign up to help. It will take a little bit more accreditation, I guess, through Fuller, because they hold the insurance on that property until it's complete.
Right.
And would involve that. But then the other part of it is, if you own a company or you have access and you want to donate items, whether it's, you know, some of the items are already specifically spoken for because they're just required. But if it's roofing materials, if it's paint, lumber, any of those, sheetrock, any of those things that flooring, any of those things that would be there, if you work for a company that wants to be involved and donate, you can donate, and it's a tax deductible, what they call in-kind donation. And that was the cool thing I got really involved with. At that time, Bill McConathy was our missions guy as well, helping us. And so he and I ended up doing a lot of that. It was just neat to go place to place and see people. What are you doing? This is, you know, what's happening? Oh yeah. Well, no,
I'm in
here. Yeah, I'm in. You go back there and pick what you need. What do you got? What do you need? And I remember one time we had somebody had donated some money to the church specifically for the build. And so we went to I think it was Home Depot. I mean, it should be shameless play. It may have been Lowe's. But at any rate, we went there and told, we like kind of shopped with what we knew, the money we had. And the guy goes, well, what are you doing this for? And we told him a little quick bit of the story. And he goes, hang on a second. And he goes, steps back and comes back in. He goes, double everything up, what you got, because we want to be a part of this. We want to donate. So 5,000 became 10,000 like that. Mm. And
we like to say doing good's contagious. We really
is.
Do think that people want to do good and find
people
ways to do
what
they ask.
100%.
Awesome. So, Brian, you might know this. Steve, you don't know this. Jordan over here, our producer, never been on a mission trip. We can't get him one. We keep trying, talking to him. But he's committed to sign up and volunteering and helping out on the builds.
Me and Evan.
We're going to be out there. So I was not a header man. I was a sweeping man. Sweeping I was picking man. Up stuff on the ground and doing that. Unskilled, but it really was a great thing to be a part of it, and doing that and helping to be in the Molly builds are really cool. And we'd love everybody to get involved. When the sign-up goes live, we will definitely be letting you know and talking about it. So as we wrap up, Steve, you got like 55 businesses to run. We're going to let you get back onto it. But just as you're thinking, Brian, you kind of hit on this. And then Steve, if you want to add to is the grief and the losing someone close to you and going through that. If there's somebody out there that's struggling, that is going through a hard time, that's doing that, is there something that you can just say to them of how you got through it or what helped you, or maybe just even a resource or something you recommend that they think about? I just think about you guys being in this club and as a dad now when I wasn't then. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Can't imagine what it's going through. And most people don't, and they're living their lives and going through until tragedy strikes. And I know, Brian, you've met with a lot of those people over the years.
Right.
And so what is just one thing take away of if somebody's going through having a hard time, something that they could do?
I think it's a phrase that I picked up, and I don't know. I know one place I heard it was through a guy named Rick Warren, who wrote Purpose-Driven Life. Many people know who he was, a big pastor out in California. But his son committed suicide. And then out of that, he wrote and talked about that loss. And the one phrase he used and repeated a few times was, don't waste the pain. Mm. And I think so many times in the grief, and grief, I always say this, it's a process, not an event. You can't just do it and think, okay, I'm done with it. Sit down and cry hard one time. Okay, I'm done with it. Move on. It's a process, and it's not linear. It doesn't go 1, 3, 4, 5. It goes all around the map. But when we don't grieve, we get stuck. And I think that's why the don't waste the pain simply means take time to understand that and feel it and walk through it. Because if you don't, you'll get stuck. And, you know, grief and fear are kind of two sides of this thing called death. You know, fear, if you fear, you get stuck. If you grieve, you can go through that and make it. I go back to in the Bible, it never says anywhere, don't grieve, don't be sorry, don't feel sad. But there's 365 times it says, do not fear or fear not. And so don't waste the pain. And understand that even though it hurts as bad as it does, you don't say this at the very beginning to anybody. It really, you just sit there. But over time, help them understand you've got to walk through that and grieve. And you've got to make that process. That's going to be a part of that process. And that's why you say don't waste it. It happens for a reason. And I know in our lives, there's been so many people we've come in contact with since then where, hey, my friend lost this child. Can you go talk to him? Or what do I say? Or they'll ask, what do I say? What do I do? We, as a quick plug, Perry and I actually have a life group. We've met twice. First time we had 8, the second time we had 14 people there.
Whoa.
In our house. And so we're like going, okay, how are we going to figure this out? But it's just word of mouth and people over time, and not all of them are Simple Church people, but just over time they're going, and it's not a, we tell them up front, this isn't a counseling session, this isn't we're not going through this workbook and getting all the filling in the blanks. We just talk, and we'll start out with a subject or do something fun, and then we'll go into whatever and just allow people to speak to that.
Grieve, yeah.
To grieve, yeah. And there are people there that have had kids that have been gone longer than ours. Mm. But it's good, and it's good because everybody in that room's at a different timeline. I think the newest is actually October of this past year, October 23, would be the newest family that's represented there. But it's been a good time. And it heals. I know for me, the more I'm able to do that and talk about it, it's a healing part in my life too.
That's great. Steve, anything?
Well, you know, it's hard to follow a pastor when you talk about grief and fear and pain. But, you know, time heals, and we all know that. And that's, I think, the hardest part to understand at very first, that, you know, you don't know how you're just going to get up the very next day, much less 5 years down the road, and it's going to be better. So you just have to have, you know, faith and trust in your family and your friends and your faith, and that it's going to get better at some point. It's never going to get perfect. It's never going to get right, but it will get better. You know, and the one thing that helped us, I think, the most is we had two younger children, Emily and Andy. And, you know, we just made the decision we could not grieve their lives away. You know, they needed to have the same childhood as they deserved and were having. So that kind of set Robin and I, we weren't good and we weren't right, we weren't well, but we did have a purpose every day of raising those two. And that was the biggest thing that helped us through the entire, you know, and it's years. It's not days, it's not months, it's years.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting them through high school, getting them through college, you know, getting them married, and although some of that's bittersweet because Katie and Emily and Molly never had those opportunities to do those things, it helps, and time heals. You got to trust in what's important to you and in your life and what you can lean on. Sometimes we lean on things we probably shouldn't lean on, and then we figure that out and find something maybe that's a little bit healthier to lean on.
Absolutely, and I love that. The building the houses, finding ways to do good, the tennis tournament, all these things are trying not to waste that pain. help somebody else and do that. And thank y'all for coming on. Thank you for sharing today about it. Like we said, the sign-up's coming soon. As soon as we let you know, get you involved there. If you have gifts in kind, you can start having those conversations.
Exactly.
We'll put the link in the show notes. You email Brian, and he'll get you connected with them. And we'd love for you to be able to do that and to get involved as it's starting up, ramping up, getting ready.
It's coming, baby.
Do some good. Jordan's going to be out there swinging a hammer.
Yep.
Doing some good. That's right. Thank you, guys.
Put him on the rooftop.
Thank y'all. Ooh. I've done that with Danny Perdue. Shout out, Danny. Tough work. Thank y'all for listening. Thanks for being a part of the podcast. Thanks for downloading this episode. We appreciate you listening to Backstage with the Simple Church Podcast. Subscribe so each week you get the new episode when it comes out on Wednesdays.
Exactly, because that's what you want is the new content.
That's right. Automatically pops up in your feed, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're there, leave a 5-star review.
Please do, because it helps people find us. And plus, we deserve it.
That's right, Scott. You do a great job.
Oh, so do you.
And thanks for listening. Share it with a friend. Send it to somebody that should enjoy this episode and subscribe as well. And thanks for being a part of the Simple Church.
Thanks for listening.